You Sunday. Does anybody know what I preached on Sunday? Anybody here know what I preached on Sunday? Somebody said marriage and family, you're in the wrong church. What did I preach on Sunday? There we go. But we're talking about the will of God. And I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit here, because I'm going to continue on the will of God on Sunday. But we were talking about, if you remember, yes, being aligned so we can fulfill the ministry or what God has called us to do. A lot of Christians don't understand that if God saved you, He saved you for a purpose. He didn't save you to have trouble the rest of your life and to sit and be defeated and be dejected and be discouraged. You're going to have to face the enemies of your soul head on. Amen? And so here's what I want you to get tonight. You have to come back. You always, if you're going to operate in the will of God, there is no secret. There is no secret. It's very plain. You're going to have to be broken. Come on. Your spirit is going to have to be in a state of brokenness and surrender to God. Now, I don't want to say a whole lot about that because I'm going to get into that a little further, but please listen to me. You will never, never, never see a release of the anointing of God that's in you. And by the way, let me just say this. If you are saved, the anointing of God abides in you. Hallelujah. Why do some people see a release? You can see somebody operate and say, that person's anointed. And that person over here is not anointed, but he's saved. The difference is until you surrender your life, just like Jesus had to do, and say, not my will, but your will be done, you will never see a degree of the anointing that you want to see. You may be saved and you may be on your way to heaven, but there's going to have to be that place where you come just like Jesus and understand that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And He said He was lowly and He was meek. There was a spirit of being submissive to the will of the Father in everything He did. That's why when He went to the cross, He said, not my will, but your will be done. Are you listening to me? I direct this message Wednesday night to the leaders. I really feel like Wednesday night are those that really are about the things of God. Now, I know there's people that come on Sunday that are serious, but I'm talking about, you know, if you come on Sunday morning, you love the church. If you come Sunday night, you love the pastor. If you come on Wednesday, you love God. Now, I know there's people that love God, okay, but I'm saying you're serious and you want what God has for you. Am I talking to anybody? And so, when the biggest thing, now listen, the biggest thing holding you back is your will. That is really your biggest hurdle. It's not the devil. It's your own will, because your will is not surrendered to God. And as long as there is no, listen, there is no brokenness, there is no humility, there is no saying, God, I surrender all to you, there will be no anointing released in your life. Even though the anointing is in you, but the anointing has to be released, and it can only be released to a person who is yielded to the will of God. Amen. That may take you a while to learn that. You could be like the children of Israel. Remember when they came out of Egypt? You could, if you are stubborn and you are hard-headed and so self-willed, you could march for 40 years around the same mountain. That's what they did. They got marching around Sinai for 40 years because they got into rebellion against God. Now stop and think about that. Because if you geographically measured out, it was only a 2-day walk. A 2-day walk winding up taking you 40 years to get there. Now, how many of you want to get there in 2 days if that's all it takes? Or do you want to spend 40 years lapping around Sinai? Because of hard-headedness. Because of lack of submission to the will of God. You know, Jacob was a deceiver, wasn't he? I said Jacob was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. Now listen. He schemed and he devised things. But you know, God paired him up with his uncle named Laban. And he had to serve Laban for 20-something years. God's always got a Laban for us somewhere. That, see, we have to stay teachable. We have to stay correctable. And we have to stay in the Word. We have to stay in a place where we can be directed by the Word of God. And we can be yielded to the will of God by yielding our spirit to God. Remember what Isaiah, I'm going to get there in a minute, I think. Remember what Isaiah said? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Anybody ever read that? I think it's in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Do you realize Uzziah was a king over Israel? God used him mightily to invent, if you will, an engine that would propel in that day the rocks towards the enemy's wall. He devised a great weapon that was used to gain some great strategic advantages against the enemy. But one day, Uzziah decided he was going to go in the temple and he was going to burn the incense. He told the priest, get out of the way. I'm the king. I'm going to go in and I'm going to light the censer and I'm going to burn incense. I'm the king. I can do what I want to. Well, he did. You remember what happened? He went in there and started burning incense, and the moment he lit that censer, leprosy started breaking out all over his head. Are you here? Amen. Because of his own will, because of his own stubbornness, because of his own disobedience, the Levites saw him breaking out in leprosy. They wrapped him up and grabbed him and put him in an isolation chamber house, and he stayed there the rest of his life. King. But yet, with leprosy, isolated and separated from everybody else. We've got to make a commitment to come back and surrender everything to the Lord. Amen. If we want a release of the anointing, because you will never go further in God than you're willing to surrender your will to God. I surrender all. Remember that old song? I surrender all. I was trying to sing that this morning. I surrender all unto Jesus. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. May we all just lift our hands a minute and just make a fresh commitment that we're going to just surrender our life to Jesus. Come on, we're just going to surrender. Say, I surrender all. I surrender all unto Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Well, the secret, now listen to me, young people, listen, everybody. The secret of the anointing and the presence of God is a life that is surrendered to the will of God. Amen. Mary Magdalene, she broke that bottle of perfume over the head of Jesus and it ran down, just like we read in Psalms 133. the anointing ran down. Because even though the anointing is in you, you have to take the cap off in order for it to pour out. It can't pour out if the cap is left on.
Amen.
Are you with me? And when you get in a position where you are not broken and you stay stubborn and you do your own will, you've left the cap on the oil. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Now, what does that have to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the gifts of the Spirit? Well, let me show you something. Because really, it's talking about the will of God. How many of you consider yourself saved? Okay. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Well, let me show you something here. He says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, or the King James says workings, but it is the same God who works all. Did you see that right there? Some people don't believe in the Trinity, but right here you see the Father, you see the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see the Holy Spirit. Basically, gifts turn into ministries. Ministries turn into serving. And the serving turns into activities. The Holy Spirit, that's what it says. Look at it. It said the Holy Spirit has the gifts. Jesus has the ministries. And the Father produces or has the activities. But, look at this, the manifestation is the same God who works all in all. In other words, every one of you have on the inside of you available all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You cannot say, well, so-and-so he operates in this one, and so-and-so operates. Well, maybe he does, but you can do. If you're not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's your fault.
Amen.
They're in you. You've got the cap on the bottle. And as long as you are not surrendered to His will, because He says, look what it says, it is the same God who works all in all. All of these gifts are worked in all who are filled with His Spirit. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? Well, to each one. Look at this. For the profit of all. Every one of you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in you. Now you've got to ask yourself, why are you not operating in them? Are you afraid? Do you not know how? Or is it you're not yielded as a vessel to God that He can use you? They're in you. They're in you. All of them are in you. It says, for to one is given a word of wisdom. Hey, now this is not wisdom in totality. It's a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Something that only the supernatural knowledge, or the wisdom, I should say, we'll talk about knowledge, of God knows. He knows something that gives you a word of wisdom. Like He gave an interpretation to Daniel in the dream, or Joseph when he went before Pharaoh, a word of wisdom. Then it says, a word of knowledge. Follow me here. A word of knowledge. It's not all knowledge, but it's a fact. It's a fact that's in the mind of God that you cannot know except by the Spirit of God. When Jesus met the woman at the well, He told her that she had five husbands. That was a fact. God will give you a word of knowledge. Every one of you. Are you with me? Look, what's the next one? Faith. It's talking about the gift of faith. It's talking about supernatural faith. I don't have time to teach you on all these. Then the gift of healings, plural. Now, I know some people operate more efficient in those gifts, but every one of you have access to the same gifts. It is the will of God that works in all of us. Are we submitted to the will of God? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Look at the next one. The working of miracles. The working of God's mighty power on behalf or in somebody's life. The gift of prophecy. Now, I understand anybody can prophesy, but this is not about telling the future. Okay? Prophecy here is talking about edification, exhortation. Just giving somebody a word like we were giving a while ago. If God be for you, who could be against you? That is a word, a prophecy to somebody that needs to be encouraged that's about to fall off the edge of the cliff. The discerning of spirits. Oh, you know, this is not talking about seeing demons in everybody. Listen, it's not the gift of suspicion. It's a supernatural gift that can operate in you to see good, to see angels, to see good spirits. Because there's more good ones than there are bad ones. Amen. I have to wonder about somebody that only see bad ones, that only see demons. Then the different kind of tongues. Now here's a big mistake. Different kind of tongues. This is an unknown tongue, but this is different than your prayer language. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues anytime you will to do so. Amen. But this is a gift of tongue. This is an unknown tongue that comes upon a person to speak a language that they don't ordinarily know. And when that happens, then it says there has to be an interpretation of tongue. That's the next gift. You see what I'm talking about? I said, do you see what I'm talking about? There has to be an interpretation of a tongue, not a translation. Translation is word for word for word for word. An interpretation gets the thought, gets the meaning across. Well, if you drop down to verse 12, it talks about as the body is one. There we go, talking about unity again. It has many members, but all members of that body being many are also one body. So also is Christ. Look down at verse 18. I don't have time to teach you all these things, but I want you to see this. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as He pleased. Or you could say as it is His will. The word please there is really the Greek word desires. God has desired you to be set in. But in order to be set in, you got to be set free. In order to be set free and be set in, you got to be set right. Amen. Set in, set free, and set right. If you drop on down here, verse 26, it says, and if one member suffers, what? All of us suffer. There we go, rowing, see, on that bench. He says, if one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it. That's what we're talking about. If we get rewarded, we all get rewarded. If we get victory, we all receive part of the reward. Are you listening to me? Amen. Every time we get souls saved, listen, we get part of the reward. Amen. It says, now you are the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? Who's the body of Christ? Did you notice it doesn't say the pastor's the body of Christ? What would happen if you come in here on a Wednesday night, and the pastor didn't show up, and Marvin had a flat tire, and there was no minister? What would you do? I know what you'd do. You'd just go home. Yeah, angel. One chapter over, chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, what does it say? Each what? A who? What? 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 Each one of who? We're talking now to the body of Christ. See, here's the problem. Each one of you, when you come in here, is supposed to have a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. It said, let all these things be done to edification. What if one day the pastor didn't show up? What if the pastor's out of town? Well, you hear people say, well, the pastor's gone this week. I'll just slack off. I won't go this week. Who is the body of Christ? Well, why don't you act like it? Why don't you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost? Amen. How many of you spent time in prayer today? I'm not getting after you. I'm just trying to show you something.
Amen.
How many of you came in? Because you get in a rut going to church. Now, this is why people fall out of church. They get in a rut. They just come. They just go. They get dressed. They get undressed. And they come and they go. You're supposed to come to church with a psalm, with a teaching, with something in your heart, prophesy. The gifts of the Spirit should be flowing out of you because you're the body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, I said, well, and God has appointed, let me go back here and finish this up because we got to stop. And God has appointed these in the where? In the church. Back to verse 28 of Chapter 12, just back up. Follow me here. And God has appointed these where?
In the church.
Who's the church? It didn't say the pastor, it said the church. Are you the church? I said, are you the Hooperitis? Okay. Can I make a deal with you? I will do the teaching, the training, the equipping, if you'll do the serving. I said, I will do the teaching, the equipping you,
yes,
the breaking down of the word,
yes,
if you'll do the serving.
Praise.
Do I have any takers?
Yes.
No, do I have any takers? I got one, two, three. Oh. Okay, we're in a covenant, right? Because God has said in the church, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and so on and so forth. And that's what he tells you here. God has appointed these in the church first apostles. Now, every time you see a list in the Bible, it doesn't automatically mean the one that's on the list is first. Like he says, faith, hope, and love. Remember he said abide in these, but the greatest one is what? Okay, so it wasn't listed first. But here it says first. So you don't have to interpret. It said first. You know why? Because the apostolic ministry is the foundation of the church. We did not founded the church some 25 years ago, okay? There's an apostolic anointing on this church. That's why this church is unique. This is why this is a New Testament church.
Amen.
God said, establish a church in word and in faith. Establish my people in the New Testament principles of the Word of God. That's what we built on. And we get away from that, we falter. When we stay with the vision, we flourish.
Amen.
It says, second prophets, third teachers, and then what? Miracles. It doesn't stop. All this is supposed to happen in the church.
Amen.
And the gifts of healings, there it's mentioned again, and let me tell you what the number one need in the church is. Mm-hmm. You know what helps mean? Anybody know what helps mean? One to come along and aid another one. Mm-hmm. Say, what's the job description of helps? Help. Being a helper. Are you with me? Every church suffers because the body of Christ won't operate in their ministry. And every person that claims they're a Christian has these things on the inside of them. We could finish them up. Administration. That's talking about somebody that can take something and organize it. You know, you got organizers.
Amen.
But somebody has to implement the plan. Are you with me? And variety of tongues. And he goes on, are all apostles? No. So are you listening to me tonight? I'm saying it's time for the church to rise up and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. We got so many people that doing their own thing, they don't have time for church. But yet they claim they are church, the body of Christ. Come on, stand up with me. I'll stop. I got to stop. I told y'all pray for me. Man, 15 minutes is nothing.